The founders of our nation said that our rights come from the Creator, and the first of these rights is the right to life. But for the last half decade, abortion has undermined the right to life in America. How can we recapture a culture of life? Chelsea Human is involved with the pro-life organization Human Coalition. She joins us to discuss a few different aspects of the pro-life story. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we welcome Chelsea Human back to the program. Thank you, Chelsea, for joining us.
Always good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Sure. And just for those not familiar with it, what is Human Coalition?
Human Coalition, we are an organization nationwide. We're pro-life and we're serving pregnant women in need who are seeking abortion with compassionate care. We work really hard to reach them before their abortions within about 24 to 48 hours and to offer them assistance, resources on their terms, compassionate care in the hopes that they'll choose life.
Okay. There was an article or there were some statements you were making recently along the lines of celebrities don't hide their support for abortion. In fact, they encourage it. If you want to go ahead and comment on this, and then I'll ask you about pro-lifers and voting and other issues related to the pro-life issue.
Yes. There's no shortage of news today, Jerry.
Tell us about the celebrities.
In February 2023, this year, 52 celebrities published in an article their abortion stories. It's been really something we've seen on this rise, this idea of shout your abortion. And 52 celebrities, after all, is a lot of celebrities. They're donating millions of dollars. Harry Styles donated $6.5 million to charities to help women get abortions. And the list goes on. It's always been a hard push of Hollywood. And you know, this was really something that grieved my heart when I was seeing this, because the stories they're leaving out are stories of women who regret their abortion, women, the 81% who have been shown in studies to say that their abortion negatively impacted them, sometimes for life. Those voices, those stories of women we have on Human Coalition's memorial website, abortionmemorial.org. And our stories are telling, our clients are telling other stories, stories of desperation, of worry, of fear, of not knowing where to turn. And as I read this celebrity stories, I thought, what if someone had had care for them? What if someone had offered them in that moment support and empowered them and encouraged them that you can do this, you can be a mother and pursue your dreams at the same time?
Huh. So you say 50, more than 50 actually celebrated it. When you were telling that story, by the way, I couldn't help but think of somebody I've interviewed once, Jennifer O'Neill. She was big back in the early 70s. She was the star of a movie called The Summer of 42. She had an abortion, and it just kind of, she said in her own words, it basically ruined her life.
That is reminiscent of what we hear from a lot of women. A lot of women go on to grieve the loss of their child. They're told going in, it's just fetal tissue. It's just a clump of cells. But then what they experience is really different. They see the bodies of their children after taking the abortion pill. One in three have PTSD from their experience. They have physical trauma, emotional trauma. And unfortunately, because of the lies of the abortion industry, many of them weren't prepared for the choice they were making and how real and of a life it is that they were going to see their own child. And we know that many go on to have things like substance abuse, depression, all types of addiction issues. A lot of women even end up in the prison system. Roads lead there. There's a disproportionate amount of prisoners who've had abortions compared to the rest of society. It's devastating for them. And we're here to serve them and show them the truth, let them know what really is growing inside their body is a child, a human child that has fully formed organs by 8 weeks and feels pain by 15 weeks, that can move and even suck their thumbs in these early weeks of pregnancy, that life begins truly at conception. And we know science, medicine, and truth are all on our side, but it's certainly a lot for us to overcome when you have public media essentially in the back pocket of these abortion providers and Hollywood trying to spread their message.
And we know that companies will spend a lot of money to pay for, you know, endorsements by celebrities and so forth. So this carries a lot of weight, unfortunately.
It does. It absolutely does. There is so much money in the pocket of the left on the abortion movement. They spent over $350 million on campaign ads last election cycle, which I know we're going to get to. But they outspent us 35-1 dollar value wise on these ads. So there's a lot of money, but we know that truth has a way of rising to the surface. And as we talk to these pregnant moms in need who are feeling pressured into abortions because of their circumstances, we know the truth. And the truth is that 76% of women who get an abortion say they would rather parent than get an abortion if their circumstances were different. And we want to be a type of community and society that comes alongside them so that they feel like they can make the better choice.
So you're saying 76% of women who are being forced to get an abortion would prefer not to, but you said earlier 81% of women who've had abortions regret that they had gone that route. Correct?
I mean, 76% of the women we serve out of 200,000 women we're talking about have said, if my circumstances were different, I would prefer to parent. And then 81% who do go on to have an abortion, there was a longitudinal study done that showed they said the abortion changed their lives for the worst. Now, that can be mental health, that can be physical health, it can be a whole host of things, but that they were worse off or felt worse afterwards because they made the decision to have an abortion. It's truly horrific, it's barbaric, it's violent, and it's certainly that way for the children who die because of abortion.
Now, when you were saying 35-1, were you basically talking about how the money on the side of, let's say, Planned Parenthood and groups like that, as they were advocating for vote this way, vote for abortion, we pro-lifers were outspent 35-1. Is that what you meant by that statistic?
Yes, that's correct. They spent $391 million on abortion TV ads alone. That doesn't include radio, billboards. And on the GOP side, only $11 million were spent on the pro-life message. That's the disparity that we're up against.
Now, I saw a headline the other day, and it said something like, in the last 9 elections, voting for pro-abortion was good for the pro-abortionists, but bad for the Republicans. It was basically, there's a lot of defeats for those who are pro-life in the last, you know, several elections, in the last couple years, I guess since Dobbs. Is that true?
Oh, that is so far from the truth. That's definitely the narrative that has been put out there. But let's look at some numbers. I always say
so. That's the Nancy Mace type narrative or something like that. You know,
yes,
this is not a winning issue for Republicans if you're pro-life.
That's what they want us to believe. But that's just frankly not the truth. We've got the facts in front of us. And the facts are that 13 out of 13 pro-life governors won, many by historic margin. To name a few, Governor Abbott out of Texas, who signed the historic Protection at Heartbeat Act before Roe was even overturned, won by historic margins. You know, we all know that Governor DeSantis took Florida by an insane margin after signing the 15-week pain-capable bill. Those are two of 13 across our country, even in swing states. Georgia's Governor Kemp, as an example, Kim Reynolds, who signed a Heartbeat Act, and she just signed it again after the courts overruled it. We can go through them, but the pro-life governors who came up and showed without apology that the vulnerable in the womb deserve protection, those who spoke well about it and were clear and committed, gave their base a reason to show up to the polls and vote, and they did just that, and they won. There were a few governors who did not do well, and those were the governors who shied away, or the candidates who shied away from the issue and bought this lie that that it's a losing issue. The truth is, it's a winning issue. The base is highly mobilized on this issue. Most of the GOP, a lot of them are single issue voters for life. So want to encourage our candidates there to be strong and proud on their belief systems on this issue, because now is the time to lean in on principle and say we're unabashedly going to protect vulnerable children in the womb
okay.
from violence.
Okay, here's what the headline said, and then I'll read you part of the link, okay? And I'm reading from citizenfreepress.com, which is definitely a conservative site. Republicans have lost 8 straight elections on abortion, including Montana, Kentucky, Kansas, and Ohio. And then you go to the article, and it's an article by Ronald Brownstein in The Atlantic. And the title of the article is Abortion is Inflaming the GOP's Biggest Electoral Problem. Ohio, talking about last week's vote, Ohio showed how abortion is weakening the Republican party's position in the nation's largest metro areas. Okay, so I'll let you wax eloquent on that.
Yes, so they are cherry picking, of course, a few of the elections that they think benefit their side. But again, they neglected the 13 other pro-life Republicans who all won handily on this issue. Now, the ballot measures are a different animal completely. There's nuance here. We have tens and sometimes even 100 million being poured into a state like Ohio or Kansas, as another example, on ballot initiatives. And our side isn't showing up to vote. There's a lot of voter suppression. There's not as much money on our side. So the ballot initiatives, they are a real threat. And I think the message I want to hit home for everyone is, after Roe, we have to continue to engage, whether that's donating, whether it's caring for women in your community through your churches or nonprofits like ours at Human Coalition, and whether it's voting, most certainly. Your candidates will be strong if they know that you're there to support them. And so that's the message we want to get across. It is a winning issue. I think that the other side is really trying to scare people away. But if you're looking for some of these facts or more, Washington Times had a great article by former Governor Scott Walker, who walked through some of these statistics. So you might have them in your back pocket, but it was entitled "Pro-Life Governors Won in 2022." Pretty simple and straightforward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is important to point out, because those pro-life governors won post Dobbs.
That's correct. They won post-Dobbs. And it was a time where, let's not forget, there has been a year of media montage on this issue since the original draft opinion was released, I believe in March of 2022. It's been a full court press, but at the end of the day, we can stand strong on this. The movement of the pro-life side has spent decades building an infrastructure for this moment. We weren't surprised. We weren't caught off guard. We were hoping, praying, and working for Roe to be overturned. And when that happened, 2,500 pregnancy resource centers nationwide were ready to continue serving these women. So while the women are still seeking abortion and going wherever they can to order the pills online or go out of state to obtain abortion, the pro-life movement is still here to serve them, to care for them, and to hope that we can save their children from a violent death by abortion.
And we also know that there have been all these attacks against such centers that you just described, these pro-life pregnancy centers, firebombings in some cases, graffiti in other cases. There have been attacks against churches. And, of course, the Justice Department under Biden really, honestly, has not done very much at all, you know, related to that. Oh, but they've turned around and they've, you know, they arrested with a SWAT team about 20 police officers. Great case of overkill. Catholic author and pro-life activist Mauch from Pennsylvania. I mean, it's amazing what's happening.
Yeah, it is. It is a difficult time when your FBI and your law enforcement has been completely weaponized against its own people. We know that the FBI even has a profile for domestic terrorists, and their profile is on suburban religious pro-life women. I mean, how many of us as women in the suburbs who are religious believe that life begins at conception and children are valuable, and our own FBI has a terrorist profile for us? It's certainly scary times, and this is why our votes matter. This is why we need to show up at every single state, county, local, national election we can and make our voices heard. Getting our churches engaged on this issue and our communities are the only way to win.
If you had a direct conversation with Nancy Mace, Republican from South Carolina, who has won, but she says we need to go easier on abortion, what would you say to her?
I would say at one point in time in Germany, the majority of Germans were comfortable with Jews being rounded up and put on trains and sent to concentration camps. I would say at one point in American history, most of the South was comfortable with slavery. This is a genocide, and the principled approach is to say vulnerable, innocent children in the womb are human, they're alive, and they are worthy of protecting.
All right, Chelsea Heumann, HUCO Action, that's HUCOAction.org. Thank you, Chelsea, all the best.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.